Well, it's a real joy and pleasure this morning to have Pastor Eldon and Lois Kropp with us. As many of you know, they've been missionaries in Africa for many years. God's given them much fruit, not only in different African countries, and in recent years they've been in Malawi, and we've been praying for them many times about the selling of the property. We thank God that part of the property's been sold. We thank God that most of the money has come in, and we're believing God for the extra amount. And you know, their lives have touched many, many people. And not only have they had a Bible school running in Malawi for many years, training up leaders and pastors, but they've helped the poor. And probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people have been touched, through them being, in Africa. And many are very hungry. And Malawi's a country which is very poor. There's been famine there. And God has used the crops to feed them, to help them, and clothing for the school children and things they need. And helping the poor and housing and so many ways. And they've made many sacrifices too. In fact, just over recent months, everything was out of the house. I think just except a refrigerator, and then many months they just stayed there. And so there's been many sacrifices they've made for the sake of the Lord. So it's a real joy to have them with us. God bless you, Pastor Eldon and Sister Lois. They'll be ministering to us now. Praise God.
So thank you. Thank you again for your prayers. We thank you very much. And it's been the grace of God that has sustained us. My wife is going to come and show a little PowerPoint. They say that men speak in black and white and ladies talk in color. So she's going to show a little bit of the color.
Yeah, I can see what's up there too. It's a joy to be with you this morning. The Lord is good, and His faithfulness endures forever. And it's just a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Now,
people have asked us, actually, how did you camp out? So we have a few pictures of what we did. In 2016 of December, Audrey, we already had a buyer for the house back then, but it fell through. But Audrey and Ben came down from Tanzania, and because both my husband and I are not very computer literate, Audrey did things on the internet to sell all of our property that we were moving with us to Tanzania. So we sold, by the end of February, we had sold our refrigerator, our stove, our couches. Well, you'll see what we had left. While we didn't take to Tanzania, you will see in these photos. Okay, so this was basically our stove, a one burner gas that we used when we didn't have any electricity. Although we had sold our real stove, we had a second old stove that had two burners but no stove. So when we did have electric, we had two burners. And this is what we used. Probably I made toast in that, is why there's a few crumbs in the skillet. And remember, we had days where we had 27 hours with no electric and 6 hours the next day with, and then 28 with none. So we use this quite often. Next. And this was our refrigerator. We bought that cooler back in 1989 and never dreaming what a blessing it would be with us, because that was our refrigerator for over 2 years. My husband drove 15 minutes to pick up some ice blocks. They lasted 3 to 4 days, and he'd go another to pick up more. So we just kept it coming. And we found out really fast which containers had waterproof lids and which did not, because as the ice melted, the water rose. You can see. Next. This was where my husband ate every morning. He liked to have his coffee here while he would do a few of the things he had to do. And this is also where we received the guests. This is one of our 5 chairs that were left. These are the 2 of the other chairs and a table where I had my computer. And isn't he ingenious? This was his desk. We had sold our desk, so he improvised with a stepladder, a piece of plywood, a couple of plastic tins, and a shoe rack. And that was his desk where he did everything for 2 years. Next. Now, this is one of the little girls that started coming to our children's church, probably. Well, she was already coming when I took over in 2004. And she, her father's dead, and she's been one of the orphan families we've been helping. And she graduated from high school. We paid, I should say, all of us paid for her schooling for in high school. And then she found a place for herself in a nursing aid program. And so we were able to help her. And she's spirit-filled. She goes to Spirit-filled Church, and she's a real sweetheart. Now, this is a tailoring shop. One of the high school girls we paid for to go to high school, she decided she wanted to learn tailoring, so we paid for her to go to tailoring. Next picture, please. And there she is. You can tell my husband took the picture. Men don't mind about faces not being seen. But she was one of six. The next picture. One of six orphans staying with an old grandmother. The grandmother had, these are the children of three of her children that died. And so the grandma has it very rough. So we gave them all blankets, and we also paid for her and to go to school to be a tailor. So we also have helped them buy fertilizer and stuff for their field. So God is, this church, now, these kids now go to a local church of the pastor. Okay, this was a family of four boys. Their father died when the oldest was nine, and they got on our list. The mother is still living, but she's one of the mothers, unfortunately, that will stay a few months with the boys, then abandon them and leave for several years at a time and then comes back. So many times I would see the oldest one out around the village carrying pipes, carrying sheeting, carrying wood, any kind of job he could get so that he and his brothers could live and go to school. But we paid high school for the oldest one. We're paying for the second oldest now, and we built them this house. Well, he had built the little house, but he didn't have a roof, so we put the roof on for him. Next. Now, look at that smile. This is one of our, I'll say, special Bible school graduates. His name is Danala, meaning money. But he is such a blessing. When he first came to our Bible school, he was not spirit-filled. He was with the Nazarene Church, and he was an evangelist to about 200 churches. And he had heard about us, so he came to the school. The second term he came back, he got spirit-filled that first term. So he went out preaching as an evangelist in the months in between, and he was so excited and so filled with the joy of the Lord. He was really blessed, and hundreds were coming to know Jesus, and some of them are getting filled with a baptism. So on the third term, he came back, the second term, he came back real excited. And then after that, in between, he was still preaching and winning souls to the Lord. And by the time he came back on the fourth term, he had been kicked out of the church because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So many were getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Nazarene churches in the villages that they decided they couldn't have this anymore. So they kicked him out of the church. But look at the radiant smile. Hallelujah. So he started his own church, and he came. And he could play the accordion a little bit, but he didn't have any accordion for his church. So I gave him one of mine, and he took it, and he's so full, and he stopped by to see us. I think this was last December, just to give us a report. So full of the joy of the Lord, and he started a church, and he has 75 members, which is really good for a one-year-old village church. So his name is Danala, and if you're praying and you pray, just pray a special blessing for Danala, because the Lord has blessed him and his family financially as well, because he was willing to sacrifice. How many of us would be willing to give up ministry to 200 churches to settle for one? It's a real sacrifice in the Lord, but the Lord blessed him. Next. Now, this was the church in the cornfield. It's a holiness church, and it's literally in the middle of the cornfield, which we didn't know when we went to it. And that they tell you, you go along the main roads, and they say, oh, there's just a path, a dirt path off for your truck. Oh, yes, your truck can get through. Well, there wasn't any kind of real path. There was cornfield path, you know, not even with a lot of feet going through to harden it. So we went, and in the middle of the service, it started raining, and that was quite an experience with water pouring in from the grass roof was quite leaky. And then you had to try not to get your Bible wet or anything else wet. And we came out, and it took us about a half an hour to pray our way out of the cornfield. But the people were very hungry. It's a new church starting, and they had a number of young people that were excited about the Lord. And the pastor is starting. He had started Bible schools in Zambia, and he's going to be starting one in Malawi, and he wants us to come back there to preach and teach. This is Pastor Elson. Notice he's standing in the middle of a cornfield. Now, you look at those rolls. That was all done by hoe. It's amazing how they can do the rows so with a hose. And I took him in the middle of a cornfield because he's an evangelist. Next. Who's? Okay. Now, this is his family. He has four girls and one boy. And his wife does some tailoring. She did some uniforms for us. But they're a real Christian family in the community. And as we continue to talk, we'll show you some of the things the Lord has really used this pastor. And he's really the one in charge of the Bible school in Malawi right now. We're trying to keep it going. Okay, next. Now, this is the bridge, 15-minute walk from our house. And it had stood there for 50 years, and the rains came, and it knocked it like that. Next picture, please. And these are ladies. Those are greens they are carrying on top of their head. They're going to market. They get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning. They pick these greens, and they cross that bridge so they can sell their greens at market. I meet them every time I go for a walk. And next, I'm going to show several pictures of this bridge because it was an important, when we first, they didn't have anyone to help them build the bridge. So they came to us. And when they came to us, I felt the Lord was saying, it's a bridge to Jesus. And as the months went by, we saw how it was really a bridge leading them to Jesus. So we gave them the money and they built this big tower. And the engineers assured us that it would hold for any kind of rain that came down. Next. So we built the bridge across it, and they were all so blessed. But the important part I want to bring out about this bridge is that they are so used to corruption. And we spent about $2,000 on this bridge. If we had given it to the government, they would have spent $25 million, which is like almost 20 times what we would have because of corruption. And the pastor held on to it. He took every bag of cement. He made the builders bring him back an empty bag. And when the people in the community saw there was an honest pastor, his church doubled. They started coming to the Lord and accepted the Lord. And another church that pastor he was working with, his also increased, and many churches sprang up because, as my husband will probably share later, because of an honest pastor. Next. And then the rains came, and look what happened. The big pillar held firm, but it fell, and all of those logs and woods went floating down. Next. So then this is what is now holding. We put some wood there to hold again. Now, 1,000 people a day cross this river, and it doesn't look like it's that big, but you see how powerful it gets in the rainy season, that it would knock down that. So then the rains came again, and it took away one of those edgings. But my husband has been blessed with wisdom from the Lord. So he was praying and saying, Lord, what can we do? And the Lord spoke to him, a seatbelt. So he took an old seatbelt that he happened to have in the garage, and he hooked it again, the next picture. And so now they have a sturdy little bridge to walk across in the dry seasons now. Isn't that amazing? And rains have come and the seatbelt held. But God is good. He gives us wisdom in all kinds of situations. Next. And this is the church of Pastor Elson you saw earlier. There were about 50 children under the tree that I taught. Next. Just to give different views. And they are there for an hour and a half during the whole service. And we sing and we preach and we do teach and we do multitudinous memory verses. Next. And this is the church as the people were coming in. And this pastor was exceptional in that they built this church and put on iron sheets and they didn't ask any help from outside. And that is a tremendous testimony in Malawi. Next. And you'll see these ladies started going out and bringing in things next. And what they were bringing were thank you offerings for us. Tomatoes, avocado, greens, potatoes, a blessing for us and a thank you for us. And that's very generous for the Malawians. A lot of churches don't do that, but this church is a church of thanksgiving, and that's why the Lord blesses them so much. And this is Brother Elson, the pastor on the right. And in the middle is his associate pastor and his wife. And they're two orphans that they've adopted. He's a graduate of our Bible school. And he's lived in the community all his life. And it's a real testimony, he and his wife. They both have AIDS. And so they've had to struggle with certain things. We've seen the Lord really heal him and touch him. Because their lives were bad before. But they're a shining light in the community now. And this is a church of a crippled house, the house of a crippled man and his wife, and they're keeping orphans as well. We were able to give the iron sheets for building that house. And this is a Muslim lady, her widow. Her husband died, and she was left with three children. And one of the cell groups was started from how the Lord had blessed Pastor Elson through our giving. She was sitting outside and she listened to the music. And finally, she went in one day. And when she went in, she got saved and spirit-filled at the same time. Hallelujah. And her house was falling down, so the church built her a house and we gave the iron sheets to bless her. Next. Now, this is Lake Malawi. And I just threw that in because we went back and forth from Malawi to Tanzania a lot. And you see the house on the right with the grass roofs. That is their beachfront apartments. Quite different from what we think of our lakes today. Okay, next. And we had the little baboons that always came out to greet us on the roads. Next. And back one, honey. Well, yeah, you'll see the potholes. It's full of potholes, big potholes, little potholes. Next. Now, I put these pictures in because when you hear us, we're going to be going back to Malawi. It's 20 hours of driving. We have to stay overnight. But these are the kind of, this is the what we encounter every time we go through the mountains. It's about an hour and a half that we go through the mountains. You can see there was these two, this truck broke down. This truck is trying to go across and he can't. He eventually was able to back up enough that gave us just barely enough room on this side for my husband to go around. Next. And then the roads will be sometimes having been worked on like this. Next. And there's another, these are the, you see how small the roads are, and there's many, many, many trucks all the time. Next. And they're hijacked, and often we see a car, hijacked, sorry. But so jackknife, so, and then we'll often see trucks down on the roads. So it's not real safe. We've had to put a new fender on because of the potholes, and we had to put new fenders on because of hitting a goat. So we were thankful it wasn't a person. So when we say we're going to from Tanzania to Malawi, you will pray for us, knowing that the roads are really not real safe. And next, we thought you'd like to see a picture of our living room in Tanzania. That's the house we'll be staying in. Thank you.
It's so good to be here this morning, and we thank God for your prayers. Your prayers have been a tremendous strength to us. There's been opposition in the natural and in the spiritual, and we thank you for your prayers. I was aware as I was praying this last week that something was happening as I was praying in English and praying in tongues. I was aware that my voice was taking a little different notice, and I said something is happening again. So I got a word from the lawyer that something is supposed to happen on Monday. Sometimes there's a two-day delay, so I don't know whether it will actually happen Monday or whether it will happen Wednesday, but they have planned for something to happen very soon. Now, don't stop praying, because we have to finish. But I thank you for that, because sometimes when we prayed, it was just like there was a roof. Nothing was getting through. And it was like that. But you helped us. You prayed with us. And by the grace of God, we're winning. By the grace of God. By the mercy of God. I want to minister for a few minutes, starting on the theme, Greater is He. Greater is He that is within you. And this is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And it says this, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes when we walk in our Christian life, we feel like little children. Because we don't have the strength, we don't have the power, we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the understanding, but greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. And that's so wonderful. Then we have in Revelation chapter 4, verse 12, it's a scripture that we know so well, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, God saw them through, and they loved not their lives unto death. And we thank God for His blood. His blood is very powerful, and we partook of His blood in the Spirit today, and it gives us strength. It encourages us. It washes us. And we thank God for that. And then it says their testimony. It's important, our testimony. And I'm going to share a few minutes this morning on a testimony of some things that happened during our stay in Malawi, and then we'll continue it tonight because it would be too long. So we'll continue tonight, but I want to share a few thoughts on the testimony, because we knew when we were in Malawi that we went in the will of God. And that's very, very important, because we faced opposition like we had never faced before. And that happens for all of us. At certain stages in our life, we have opposition. But when we know that God has sent us and that God is with us, then it gives us strength. So it's important to have that testimony that we are in the will of God and we're walking with Him, and He will help us. And He is helping us. And then it says, they love not their lives unto death. Sometimes we have to be willing to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Now, it was partly lack of understanding that we got rid of all of our furniture because we thought we had a buyer, and people even made promise we would go to the lawyer and sign. But then it didn't happen, and we didn't have understanding of the timing. We just didn't have it all the time. But God chose, and of course, we wanted to move some things to Malawi. We kept, to Tanzania, some of the furniture, but we didn't need as much, so we moved some, and we sold some, so that's why. But that was lack of understanding. But God is still good. And He's wonderful, and He keeps us. But we have to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. Now, I want to go to Psalm 42, verse 8. And this morning, I want to share a few thoughts on how God revealed His loving kindness to us while we were in Malawi. Some of this will go back a few years, and then I will share some other things tonight. the Lord willing. So, but in Psalm chapter 42, verse 8, and it was a few months ago that the Lord really began to quicken this scripture afresh to my heart. It says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life." Now, I'm just looking this morning at the first part. God will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And when I was growing up in church, we sang a lot of hymns. And there was this one hymn, "His Loving Kindness, Oh How Strong." When we think of loving kindness, we don't necessarily associate it with God's strength. But it is his strength, because God commands his loving kindness and he reveals it as he calls us and all of that. So I want to go back to the beginning of how God called us to Malawi, and I just want to reveal a couple things, share a testimony of a couple ways that God revealed his loving kindness way back then. And so it was way back, it was about in 1997, we were first invited to go to Malawi. There was a certain pastor and bishop who had a number of churches there, and he came down to South Africa, and he invited someone to come up and minister in their church conference. So I figured, I just thought that Pastor Fawcett would go. He was a senior missionary, but he said, "No, I don't feel to go." And I thought Pastor Mike Derrick would go. They had been in Kenya many years. I thought he and his wife would go. But he said, "I don't feel I should go." He said, "I feel that you and your wife should go." So we went. That's how we first got. We just went for 10 days or something like that. Our children were still in school in South Africa while we were there. But we went, and God began to tug on our heartstrings a little bit. Some of the things that we saw in Malawi, in the churches, not just in the surroundings, but in the churches as well. We were in a church, and there was, in one service, there was probably 150 people. Friday, Saturday, they didn't have as many, but on Sunday, they had a lot more. Other churches visited and so forth. And there were very few Bibles. There were very few Bibles. And there were quite a few pastors. And I said, "How can you be a pastor and not even have a Bible? It doesn't make sense." And so, you know, God was beginning to, if I could say it in this way, put the Macedonian call into our heart. We still were living in South Africa, and we didn't plan to move in any way, shape, or form, but we were invited back again the next May. So we went again the next May, and I was explaining something. I was asked to teach in the morning, and then they had afternoon sometimes ladies' meeting, and then they had an evening evangelistic service. But it was in the morning I was teaching, and somehow I was trying to explain something. And when you're in, especially a foreign country, you have to try to think, how can they understand this? Because some things are very foreign. They don't understand. Some things they've maybe never seen. And so you have to explain it. And it came into my heart while I was teaching that I could explain it in this way. My father was a farmer, and I enjoyed being on the farm, and I had brothers, and my father had several tractors. And he would say to my older brother, "Leroy, you take this tractor, you go in this field, and you do this." And then he would say, "Eldon, you take this tractor, you go in this field, and you do this." And he said, "I'm going to take this tractor, and I'll go in this field, and I'll do that." And when I said that, I was aware that God was changing my field. God was changing my field. So our plan and our time in Malawi was not my plan. There wasn't a lot in the natural that would have encouraged us, but I was aware that God was changing the field, and it's so important to be in the field, to be in the place where God wants us to be, because then we will get the wisdom of God, we will get the help of God, and we will have understanding of what God wants us to do. And we're not living our life, we sang it this morning, we're not living our life for what we want. We are living our life to please the Lord and to bring to pass his purposes in the kingdom of God. And as it's by the grace of God that we can do that. So Of course, we had to call Pastor Bailey, and there was consultation, and everybody was in agreement. And so we went, and we were there. Our work permits were all established, and we agreed to register Zion Ministries in Malawi, is what we called it there. And we did all of that. It worked out. We prepared some buildings to have a place where students could come and study. For 14 years, we did 7 complete 2-year terms of the Bible school. I think that's a good number. We finished in 2016 because we already had offers on the property and we didn't know when it would sell, so we finished that. There were still some correspondence students, but we did it for 7 complete terms of 2 years each. And so that worked well. But when we established the Bible school, there was some opposition. The one bishop we were working with, he said, only people from my church come. And we had talked about this before. I said, no, that's not how Zion does things. I said, you can have as many as you want from your church, but we have to allow other people too. There are other churches that don't have the opportunity. And he said to me, you don't know Malawi. And I said, that's true. I don't know Malawi. But I said, you don't know God. You don't know God. And we allowed other people to come, and God bless. The last Bible school we had, I don't know, it was somewhere around 20. It could have been a little less or a little more. I don't know. Some didn't come the whole term. They only needed a few weeks. But we had, I think, 15 or more different churches, different church denominations represented there. So God can do it. God can do what he wants to do. He is able. He is faithful. Now, I said all of that to say this. After we were there 4 years and we had to apply, we had to have work permits, and this bishop we were working with, he had to sign for it and all that. He decided that he had promised his pastors motorcycles. I didn't know that, but we went to one of his churches, called him, and we went to visit one of his churches, and of course everything was in Chichewa, and I don't know very much Chichewa now, but I knew him less then. And after they had their meeting, and I wasn't in on the meeting, I said, what did they want? He said, well, the pastors want to know that if they die, will we help them with the funeral? I said, well, what did you say? He said, yeah, we'll help them. I said, you made that promise. I didn't make that promise. You made that promise. And I said, you better start saving your kwacha, because some of them are pretty old. So we had to set some boundaries. We had to set some boundaries. Well, he saw that, and Zion was giving him a good monthly allowance. We prayed, Pastor Bailey prayed, and we gave him what we felt was right in the eyes of God. But after 4 years, he decided it wasn't enough. So he would not sign for the renewal of my work permit. And in fact, he told some of the churches and the pastors that our work permit expired on November 11th. This was way, way back. And on the 12th, he was going to move into our house. He called it his second property. But I want you to see what God did. That was his plan. Now, we went for, it was over a month without a work permit. We were in trouble. I couldn't even apply because he wouldn't allow me to do it. And we were in big trouble. We didn't know what to do. And I phoned Pastor Bailey and we discussed, and he said, let us pray. Let us just pray what God will do. And I want to look at the next scripture in Psalm 69. He said, let us just pray and see if God will speak. Maybe you will have to go. And the thing is, some of the people were accustomed to doing this to missionaries. If they didn't get exactly what they wanted, they didn't feel everything was right, they would just say, and immigration would move them out. Sometimes they were only given 1 or 2 days to move, to leave the country. And when we first visited that pastor's house, I saw some appliances there, and I just wondered, well, from his income, how did he have these appliances? And it came out later that they had forced other missionaries out, and they in 1-2 days, they couldn't get rid of things, so they just took over. They just accepted those things. So we knew by that time that we were in big trouble. We knew that we needed God's help. But God gave me that scripture in Psalm 69, verse 35, "For God will save Zion and build the cities of Jerusalem, that they may dwell there and have in possession." So God began to quicken that scripture. Then we were introduced, I don't remember exactly how, but we were introduced to a certain man and his wife. They were elders in a Pentecostal church, a large Pentecostal church. And somehow we went there. We ended up in their house on a certain afternoon, and they had a prayer meeting. So we prayed together. It was a husband and wife, and my wife and I, and one of his daughters was there, about 18 years old. We prayed, and after we prayed, this daughter began to prophesy that God would save us. I don't remember the exact words, but the same thing that God had spoken to me. Now, at the same time, during that time, on the Sunday morning, we were invited to go to their church. Now, this bishop was so jealous. We were there for about 3 years. I was never allowed. He was jealous that it kept me from making any other friends. I couldn't visit any other church than his church. And, he just kept really, so we didn't know a lot of people. And we didn't know what we were going to do. But so we went to this other church because now he didn't want us to come to his church anymore. So we went to this other church, and it was a big Pentecostal church. And in the service, it was okay, except that when it came to the offering, they had these huge baskets. And they took up, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3, but they took up either 2 or 3 offerings in the service. And before they would take the offering, somebody would preach for about 10 minutes on giving. And it was so, I love to give. I love to give. But it was just done in such a way, it was so repulsive to me. There are churches that do that. And I said, "Lord, why did you ever send me here?" Now, this was way back. This was way back. But the Lord didn't answer. I used to ask my dad a lot of questions, and sometimes he just didn't answer. Well, the Lord didn't answer that either, but the Lord knew. You see, God is so great. Well, at the end of the service, there was a visiting missionary from the United Kingdom, and this man and his wife introduced me to them, and he just said, "We're having a little bit of problems with immigration and so forth." And he just looked at me and he said, "God will save you. God will save you." Well, God saved us. They introduced us to a certain lady who was in government, and she had been a Roman Catholic, but she got saved and baptized and spirit-filled, and God used her to save us. In immigration, we got our work permit and all of that. But I just want to say this, you know, it's God that saves us. And at the same time, we were going through this threat of being removed from the country just very quickly. This organization that we introduced us to, Malawi, there were two people that had worked together, and they had the same name. But they split up. They couldn't work together. And so the one person had a missionary working with him, and I was a missionary working with his others, and they both tried to kick out their missionaries at the very same time. And he called me up and he asked for prayer. And so we prayed together and all of that. And God saved us both. He came to me. He was from South Korea. And we're friends. We live on different sides of the city, so we're not together too much, but we're friends. And God saved us both. And he, at that time, was speaking broken English. He's very good now, but in those days, it was broken English. And he simply said to me, "He fall down." The one that opposed him, he fell down. The greatness of God. And the greatness of God is revealed where we are. If we're in the will of God, and we're walking in righteousness, we're walking in holiness, we're obeying Him, God helps us where we are. And I'm so thankful for that. Because in the first 4 years, it took us a couple of months before we were able to sell our house in South Africa and actually get moved there. In the first 4 years, we would not have accomplished much. We would never have met this Pastor Elson. We would never have met Denala. We have never have met that girl that you saw there, that teenager. And she was in Audrey's Sunday school class. They used to meet on Thursday afternoon. But she was about five years old, and she was in one of Audrey's first Sunday school lessons that she had, and she was always faithful through those years. In the first 4 years, if we had gone at that time, none of those people would have been touched by the power of God at that time. And so I just wanted to mention the greatness of God, the goodness of God. God commands His loving kindness in the morning. And it's so wonderful. As we walk with God, as we wait upon God, He continues to help us. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm thankful to have my feet on American soil and be here. But I'm thankful for what God is doing. And God is continuing to help us. Sometimes our prayers don't seem like they go through, but we keep on. We keep on by the grace of God, and we flow together. Paul said, even Paul, you would think, well, Paul didn't need other people's prayers, but he said, your prayers are helping me. And there is that aspect of the wonderful grace of God. I want to close with this last scripture in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I'm just touching on one thing, and then we will continue tonight on some of these themes and give you other thoughts about. But Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, he talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And he said, it's not meat or drink, it's not what we eat, not what we drink, but he said it's righteousness. Righteousness. I like that thought in Ezekiel when he saw the living creatures and he said they had straight feet and they went straight forward. Oh God, help us to walk in your paths. Help us to be straight before you, the righteousness of God, to be clothed with the righteousness of God. Well, it has to be worked out in our life and with our hands and all of our faculties. But you know, and we also, Ben and Audrey had a similar problem in Tanzania with a certain bishop. And it's all because they were bishops of churches. They had influence over many people. But in their lives, there was not righteousness. And often it can be in the aspect of money. We want to be right. These, you know, Malawi is a very poor country. And it could be changed. One of the big problems is their main harvest is corn, maize. They tend to have a small garden, but they raise the corn, And then when they harvest it, they don't have much money, so they sell some of it. Well, the price is very low when they sell. And so people that have money, they come and they'll go through the villages and they'll buy it up. And then when the little bit that they have saved, when that runs out, then they have to start buying again. And that's one of the, that's why there's always a food crisis every year, because there are unrighteous people that take advantage of the people that they need money, so they sell it low, and then when they don't have, this time of year, right now, this time of year, it's triple the price of what they sold it for. So if they don't have, then they have to buy at a very high price. Malawi could easily be changed if they would just get rid of the unrighteous way that they're doing those things. But also for the pastors. In every one of our lives, and I see a few faces, I see all your faces, but so many of you have had the workings of God and you're faithful. You didn't care. You were content when you had little. And maybe the Lord blessed you and you had enough, but you're still content. You're not grasping for that. You're not greedy for that. And so if the church wants to prosper, that is one area that we have to have righteousness in. And there are some. There are some, like this pastor that we're working with. You know, he's not greedy for himself. He's not greedy for himself. He is willing to give. But we want to see God triumph. Well, I hope in some way, I am thankful for the greatness of God. If I had planned things, I would have never done it in that way. But I'm thankful that I somehow found grace to say, Lord, you lead, you choose. And that's what we want to do in our life. Lord, you choose the area of ministry. You choose how you want me to serve you. There are so many avenues of ministry. Prayer is a ministry. Praise and leading worship and playing instruments, they're all ministries. Teaching Sunday school, teaching the children, those are ministries. There are so many ministries, but Lord, you choose. And then, of course, you flow with the people that are over you in the Lord. And that is very wonderful. And then we get the confirmation. And then we know that we'll be fruitful. Not necessarily without opposition, but we'll be fruitful. And God will help us that we can triumph in Him. So this morning, I am thankful for the greatness of God, and it's because He is in us. He is great apart from us, but it's He in us that helps us to overcome in those areas where we have opposition, and we are able to triumph. Tonight, we will be sharing a couple of other aspects, but that's enough for this morning. God bless you.